Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, Packer fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Happy Edrin Cooper Deep Dive Day to those who celebrate. First of all, shout out to Rodrigo Pinto and Laura Terry for becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. And I just want to say the most sincere of thank yous to all of you. This past month, the entirety of April was beyond epic. Over 703,000 views on YouTube in April alone, right at 500,000 downloads on the audio version of the podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcast, subscribe, like, comment, etc. 1.2 million views / downloads in April alone for the Pack-A-Day podcast. And that is a shout out to you, the listener, you, the viewer on YouTube. If you're getting this on Cheesehead TV or Packer Report, it's a shout out to the entire Pack-A-Day podcast team. The amount of just unadulterated joy, effort, and enthusiasm that they put into the entire month of getting you ready for the draft, covering all the prospects immediately after the draft, the live draft shows, the special guests. I mean, just this week already, we've had Tony Pauline on, we've had Sam Munson on, we've had Ben Fennell on. Like, we're just like, it's just some of these days I'm looking at the lineup of what we've had on and discussing, and it blows my mind. It excites me as a Packer fan that I can go on my drive and listen to Sam Munson and Ross Uglum break down the draft. And, you know, I get to talk to Tony Pauline and Ben Fennell, and then like Owen Reese and Jacob Morley doing this incredible deep dive into the offensive linemen. And it's just every single one. So thank you, the viewer, the listener, the customer, whatever you want to decide yourself as. I just appreciate you guys so freaking much. And then the entire team as well. It was an epic, amazing, unbelievable April, more than I ever could have possibly imagined when I started this whole thing. And it's just really, really cool to see. So thank you so much. But right before we get to Edrin Cooper, right before, we have one other update, a Packers update. Alex Magoo, your favorite Alex Magoo, my favorite Alex Magoo, is now officially a wide receiver. You heard it right. Alex Magoo, the quarterback, is now a wide receiver. He's wearing number 2. He is added as a wide receiver on the active roster. And listen, I don't know if this makes sense for anyone. If I were Alex Magoo, I guess you probably still chase that NFL dream, but I don't know. Can you go play in the CFL? Can you go play in the UFL? Is there an opportunity to play somewhere there and play the position that you love? Or do you just want to, you know, try to stick around as a, you know, wide receiver? I think he turns 29 this season, and transitioning to a wide receiver from a quarterback, if you look at his athletic profile coming out of college at wide receiver, it's not super ideal. It's a tall task, but hey, all the power to him. You watch him run in practice, he can run. He's an athletic dude. There's no question about that. So we'll see what he can bring to the table, if he can actually make a name for himself as a wide receiver, but an interesting move nonetheless. I don't think anything probably comes out of it other than we know now who the top 3 quarterbacks are in camp with Alex Magoo officially at wide receiver, but that'll be one interesting one to keep an eye on as mini camps and OTAs take off in a couple weeks here. Also, I guess rookie mini camps are confirmed for Friday and Saturday, 3:15 both days. LaFleur will speak after practice on Friday. There'll be some locker room availability as well, but 3:15 p.m. Friday and Saturday, rookie mini camps, unfortunately, open only to the media and not to fans, which is always a bummer, but I will key you in and clue you in on everything that happens. I will be there. I will be your eyes and ears, and we'll cover both days on episodes here on the Pack-A-Day podcast, so you can look forward to those on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. All right, now, let's jump right into Edrin Cooper because we've got a lot to discuss. Let's start with the simple stuff. 6'2", 230 pounds, linebacker from Texas A&M, was a fourth-year senior, 22 years old. He will turn 23 in November, which I think we can all agree is the best month to have a birthday in. Has 34-inch arms, not short arms. One of the few players, it feels like, in this draft class for the Packers that does not have short arms. 9 3/4-inch hands. Statistically, in 2023, he had 84 tackles, 17 tackles for loss, 8 sacks. It felt like all 25 of those came against Alabama. It didn't, but he had an unbelievable game against Bama and had 2 forced fumbles this past season as well. 205 career tackles, 30.5 career tackles for loss, 8.5 career sacks, 2 picks, 8 passes defensed, 3 forced fumbles and 2 fumble recoveries. Athletically, he's super gifted, as you would expect from a player that the Packers selected at this point in the draft. 9.13 relative athletic score, which makes him, again, a 91st percentile athlete at the position. 97th percentile 40-yard dash, 79th percentile short shuttle, 58th percentile 3-cone, 72nd percentile vertical jump, 68th percentile broad jump, 74th percentile height, and 40th percentile weight. From an athletic comp standpoint, his profile is extremely similar to that of CJ Mosley, the former Alabama linebacker, obviously still in the league, except he's more athletic. There's a little bit more juice. There's a little bit more kind of everything there from Cooper, but that overall athletic profile looks like a more athletic CJ Mosley, which has to be music to everyone's ears. Mosley's a good linebacker, but you add a little juice to Mosley, and that gets you really jacked up and excited. All right, PFF. 2021 had a 64.1 grade on 339 snaps. In 2022 had a 66.1 grade on 621 snaps. And in 2023 had a 90.8 grade on 609 snaps. He got better year over year. And this is another one that was just fun watching his progression. As I watched him in 2021 on those 339 snaps, you could tell just the raw natural ability and his instincts were just he didn't know what he was doing yet, and it almost didn't matter. He was just flying around making plays, and it was like, it almost was like perfect. There was no thinking or overthinking. He was just like, I'm just going to go fly to the football. And it was beautiful. Then in 2022, he still played well, but you could almost tell that, like, all right, now they're refining him and trying to make him into a more professional linebacker and making sure that he's doing all the right things. And you could see that he was kind of thinking through some things and maybe not reacting and flying quite as fast just because he was thinking through things. And then 2023 is where it slowed down and you could start seeing, all right, now he's playing almost like he did when he first played, like fast, aggressive style of football, but he knows what he's doing and the game has slowed down for him a little bit more. So that was a fun progression to watch. This past season had an 87.6 run defense grade, 73.7 tackling grade, 86.4 pass rush grade, and 85.5 coverage grade. The point being here is there was no major hole in his game. Sometimes you see these linebackers who have unbelievable tackling and run defense grades, but their coverage and pass rush grades are brutal, or vice versa, or some combination. But the beautiful thing about Edrin Cooper is that he graded well at everything per PFF. Had 27 pressures, 10 sacks. These are per PFF. They have a little bit different numbers than the box score numbers. They charted a little bit differently, but they had 27 pressures, 10 sacks, 12.8% missed tackle percentage, 56 stops. And in coverage, he was targeted 16 times, 14 passes completed, 87.5% completion percentage for 132 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, had 2 pass breakups and a 101.1 rating, but not a lot of yards allowed. They didn't ask him to do a ton in coverage. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Basically, the only time that he was able to stop the pass is when he actually broke it up. But you're talking about a player who played a lot of football. And yes, it's an 87.5% completion percentage, but he only allowed 14 completions. He only allowed 132 yards, no touchdowns. You're not concerned of anything that you saw on tape from a coverage standpoint. He also had above average special teams grades from PFF, with over 100 snaps per season over the last 4 seasons. So every year was graded above average as a special teamer with a decent amount of snaps every year for the past 4 years. Some unfortunate note, or at least one unfortunate note here, he did lose his girlfriend tragically in November of 2023. Just a really sad story overall. You could tell almost that it sounds like he kind of dedicated the rest of the season and you know, just kind of honed in and focused on football, probably to, you know, just kind of take his mind off of things, but really tough. And you see him sort of kind of come through that adversity, but obviously a tragic and brutal situation for Edrin. On the plus side, and something that will hopefully translate well as he transitions to Green Bay, is he does love fishing and hunting, so he will fit right in with his Wisconsin brethren as a member of the Green Bay Packers. All right, let's talk about his strengths, because they are plentiful, they are numerous, and they are gorgeous. First of all, athleticism and pure explosivity, whatever you want to call it. It's explosive and it's so fun to watch. This is a heat-seeking missile on tape just flying to the football. There are so many plays that you just have to watch over again because of how quickly he gets from point A to point B. There's this beautiful play I just watched, and I watched it over and over and over and over again. It's actually against Jaden Daniels, and this is when he was a quarterback spy, actually. But he's QB spying Jaden Daniels, and obviously you know how explosive and dynamic Jaden Daniels is. Jaden Daniels is going back to pass, and he gets a little bit of a pass rush on him, and he starts sort of backpedaling one way, and Edgerrin Cooper takes a beeline knowing that Jaden Daniels, despite him going to his left on that first move or sort of backwards into his left on that first move, that he was going to circle around and go to his right so that he could throw to his right. That first step backwards into his left, Cooper beelines to the right, to what Daniels' right would be, Cooper's left. And he reads it. He knows exactly what he's going to do. That first step explosiveness to the side that he knew he was going to go to before he even went in that direction. Daniels, of course, he does exactly what Cooper expected him to do. It was sort of like a fake left, and then he boots right, and Cooper beelines to him and is right there. Now, Daniels like forced to throw over the middle across his body, and it ends up just being incomplete. But that sort of not only instinct and just like being able to read that sort of play, but that quickness to get out there in a second. And there are plays against Alabama. There are plays against every single one of these SEC teams where like the quarterback will just start to get outside and Edgerrin Cooper is there. And he's there with haste and pace and speed and explosiveness. And it is jump off the tape explosiveness. Like jaw dropping, oh my goodness, this is different. He's moving at a different pace than these other players that are on the field. And that's what gets you so excited because Green Bay, in my lifetime, I don't think has ever had a linebacker with this much true intensity, aggressiveness, and speed at that linebacker position. I've been watching the Packers for quite some time. I'll compare him to maybe one other player that played that position a little bit later in this episode. But like I said, you do not, I actually think I mentioned this on the, it was either in one of the live chats or in the Edgerrin Cooper episode prior to the draft. You do not need to have any sort of previous scouting knowledge. You don't have to really know football all that great. You could literally just throw on any all 22 this past season of Edgerrin Cooper, and you would easily be able to identify, yeah, that guy moves different. And that's what's so fun about him. Really good change of direction. The closing burst is another aspect that it's great that you have speed, but can you close to the quarterback? I forget who it was. Somebody, one of the people who scouted him, maybe it was one of the ones in McGinn's article, but I forget who it was, but said that he had as good a closing ability as any player in this draft, including Dallas Turner, which if you know anything about Dallas Turner, like that's his superpower. And he said it, like Edgerrin Cooper's was as good of a closing ability. So like if he gets that ability to get around the edge and close to the quarterback or blitz or spy and get to the quarterback, it's not just like he's running in a straight line and there's no close, like it's running fast. And then as he gets closer to the quarterback, it gets faster. And that again is another really special trait about Edgerrin Cooper. Like I said, he's playing at a different speed than everyone else. He's sideline to sideline ability. And we maybe overuse that, or I guess it's maybe just a little bit cliche now because so many of these linebackers have that ability, but you're middle of the field and the play's going all the way left, he's going to get all the way left. You're middle of the field, you're going all the way right, he's going to get all the way right. But here's the other thing. There were plays on tape where he's not even in like the view of the camera on the end zone view, and it's going the opposite way. And all of a sudden you see just this Edgerrin Cooper beeline from not on the camera to in the camera to going and making the play on the opposite side of the field. It's a different level of sideline to sideline ability. He plays a downhill attacking brand of football. And the two things that are really amazing, we sort of touched on this with the explosive ability, are his ability to spy the quarterback and his ability to blitz. And there are so many plays where they brought him untouched off the edge and it's just the play's over. Like you have 1 second to get rid of the ball or Edgerrin Cooper is going to be annihilating you at the point of attack. And that's fun to watch. You can blitz up the middle. There are multiple plays, both in as a run blitzer and as a pass blitzer, where he goes right up the A gap And usually there's like a double A, you know, sometimes you'll hear like the double A gap blitz. He's just blitzing the A gap and there's two linemen there and he's just going through them. He's just going right through the middle of them. And it's like, they're almost like caught off guard that he would even like try it or that he was there that quickly. But he's all of a sudden, he's just through them. And like the quarterback's like, oh, now what do I do? And it's, again, it's a special, you know, blend of speed and power and athleticism for Cooper that just gets on top of these players so fast and they're just not used to it. Hey friends, you may not know this because usually you hear me talking about the Packers 365 days a year, but I'm actually a massive, massive fan of the NBA playoffs. And while I've always enjoyed NBA basketball, it's been taken to an entirely different level as I've been utilizing Prize Picks to test my skills and add to that excitement level of the NBA playoffs. Prize Picks is the most fun that I have ever had, winning up to 100 times my money, and there's never been a better time to join the Prize Picks community. Did you know that there's over 5 million members that have already downloaded the app? 5 million! This playoff season, star players are in play in a significant way. Keep an eye out for star players on the board, and you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. This week, I'm going with Brooke Lopez, Paul George, and Jalen Brunson for rebounds, points, and assists, respectively. And I'm already geeking out about putting Caitlin Clark's three-pointers made stat line in my lineup when women's season tips off in just over a month. Basketball plus Prize Picks equals epic excitement. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. There is nothing quite like the thrill of live NBA playoff basketball this time of year. And if you haven't had the opportunity to catch a playoff game in person, let me just tell you, you are missing out. But you don't need to be. You could attend an NBA playoff game easily with the use of Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. And guess what? Prices actually go down the closer that you get to tip off. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, seat views, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes all the awful, frustrating aspects of purchasing tickets out of the equation, and they help you get the perfect tickets that you want. I'm on my Game Time app right now, scrolling through Bucks tickets for Game 5, and not only are there plenty of great seats available, but the deals are incredible, and I can literally click and purchase any number of amazing deals right now. The best thing about Game Time is definitely the ease of use, no question about it, but their lowest price guarantee and their cancellation protection have come in huge for me in the past and are two more of my favorite features. Let me just say it again. The last minute deals come in clutch every single time. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So get in on the action and take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Screenplays is another one. I've talked about this before, but there's a couple screenplays on tape where he identifies it so fast, makes the blockers miss, and then goes and makes tackles on the play. There are wide receiver screens to the outside where he's in the middle of the field and all of a sudden it's a wide receiver screen and Cooper's there. Meaning like those couple corners that are up there will maybe, you know, delay him a little bit and that wide receiver's looking for a cutback lane and there is just none because Cooper's there and he's ready to make the play. He has mastered the art of dodgeball, of Patches O'Houlihan's 5 Ds, dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. He has the ability to matrix his way and just dip and dive and dodge around people and avoid blocks and go make plays in the backfield. And it's some special unique stuff where he's going on a line and then like he'll like the defender or the offensive lineman will be there to block him. And he just like sort of again, like matrixes his way around and then goes and makes the play in the backfield. We'll touch base on that a little bit on the negative side of things too, but it's one thing if you're going to avoid, you know, sort of taking on blocks and then all of a sudden like you just are in no man's land. Like he might try to avoid taking on blocks at times, but it's because he is so gifted at maneuvering around these blocks that he can get around them and can go make the play. And it ends up being a real net positive for the defense. He's an extremely hard hitter. You will see him explode through runners And this is another one where it's probably been since Desmond Bishop that we've seen somebody in this Packers linebacking group that really packs some punch. And this is a difference than Desmond Bishop, because Desmond Bishop didn't have that raw speed that was just like, all of a sudden you're, again, that heat-seeking missile where it's just boom, and there's that explosiveness. Bishop was a hard hitter, no question about it. But now imagine Desmond Bishop's hitting ability, but with somebody that's running a low 4.540, and it just becomes a totally different animal in and of itself. There are plays, there's a play to the outside where they throw a little swing pass to the outside and the running back catches it and turns around and Cooper's just there and just blows him up and the ball just goes flying. Yeah, he's, you know, forced a fumble from Jaden Daniels. Again, good hit on that play. And you see these all the time where if you're coming across and you're not anticipating Adrian Cooper being there, or all of a sudden he's in that vicinity, you better be aware because he will blow you up. And the thing that's really amazing about Cooper too is there's never anything dirty on tape. There's never any stupid plays, never anything that I saw from like a 15-yard penalty or a helmet to helmet or a targeting or anything like that. It was just really clean football, but he's going to knock the snot out of you if he gets the opportunity, but in a very legal way. And that's the way that it's supposed to be played. And you love to see it from Cooper. 585 career special team snaps. That's not normal for somebody that is this type of linebacker that's going as the top linebacker taken overall in the draft. 585 career special team snaps. If Rich Bisaccia and this, you know, coaching staff is fine with him playing defense and special teams, he will go in and he will make an impact on special teams for you. When he was asked to cover, he showed he could do it. He had a couple of really nice plays on wheel routes. There's a Texas route, jumped in zones, and really was able to keep his eye on the quarterback and get in the, you know, middle of those and bat away some balls. He had a diving pass breakup over the middle of the field on one play. So again, he wasn't asked to do a ton of it, but when he was definitely able to make some plays. And then going along with that, legitimate playmaking ability. We talked about the sacks, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, had some interceptions on tape. He did a little bit of everything. But he came up with big plays regularly, and especially this past season and against big time opponents. You talk about that Alabama game. I think he had 3 sacks in that game, just all over the place, coming up with huge plays at huge moments. That's what he's known for. And that's why he was, in fact, the top linebacker taken in this draft. Plays with a passion and an intensity. He's completely relentless. He has the ability to sort through the muck. There's another play that was just astounding to me. And this is kind of going back to the one where he's like barely on the screen. And then there's this play where he's going from like the off-ball linebacker. Like he's like weak side linebacker on this play. And the offensive lineman tries to come out and get him. He makes the offensive lineman miss. And then there's just a massive humanity. And there's like 8 guys in his way. And he's just sifting through everything, but still while maintaining his speed, just going on a beeline and just making the play in the backfield. I actually think on this particular play I'm thinking of, I think he might have actually like either just missed the tackle or maybe overran it just a little bit, or maybe the running back cut back. But just his ability to get through all of this stuff that's happening and still make his way into the backfield, you see this stuff happen all the time. There's all this chaos, and he's just running through it like it's not even there, like not a care in the world. And it's so crazy. Like you just think of like the guys that are taking all these little steps and just like sort of trying to navigate and get off. He's just like, no, I'm just going to go right through everything and you're not going to be able to stop me. And that's the really cool part of his game. Rarely on the ground, rarely, if ever, on the ground. If he's on the ground, it's usually because he's tackling somebody and he's dragging them down. Sometimes he'll have a missed tackle here and there, but it's not because he's getting taken on by bigger blockers and they're just throwing him to the ground or he can't hold up. So that is a very good sign. Now we'll talk about his ability to take on blocks in just a moment, but you rarely, if ever, see him actually on the ground because of it. The game, as I mentioned, is starting to slow down for him a little bit. It will speed up now that he's in the NFL. It's going to take a whole nother gear and he's going to have to get used to that. But you saw that progression through college. He got better game after game after game, year after year after year. And at this end of this past season, you could just tell he was starting to feel a whole different level of comfort and that the game was, in fact, at least the college game, was really slowing down for him. And then that Alabama game. You will have a very difficult time finding a better player in this draft who had a better one game than what Adrian Cooper had against Alabama. And it's against that type of opponent. We talked yesterday about Jordan Morgan having that epic game against UCLA. This is a whole different level of that, of what he did against Bama. If you get a chance, just go watch the highlights from that game. It'll be worth it in and of itself. But that was a very, very fun tape. And like I said, probably my favorite game of anyone in this, at least that I saw in this entire round of draft picks. All right, weaknesses. Yes, unfortunately, he does have some weaknesses as well. The first one is he will avoid blocks rather than taking them on. It's not always bad. It's not always bad. As I mentioned earlier, goes to the patches of Houlihan, you know, 5Ds. He finds ways to get around them and going in and making plays. And he's that athletic that he can do so. Now, can he still do it in the NFL? That's going to be the question. And there are times where he plays a little bit of hero ball. He plays a little bit undisciplined. And I'll say it one more time. Even that sometimes worked, or at least it worked in college. Now, how is it going to play in the NFL? You really can't be undisciplined in the NFL. You have to be able to do your job. Yes, you're going to want to go and make that big play from time to time. And that's just sort of the instincts that some of these super alpha linebackers have. But it's going to be paramount that he does his job, whatever that might be. Him and Quay, I think, are going to have to be used interchangeably, meaning sometimes Edrin Cooper might be the one that's forced to take on the block so that Quay can go make the play. There are going to be times where probably Quay is forced to take on the block so Edrin can go make the play. But it's paramount that whatever they're asked, if both of them just go crashing in and trying to make the play, it's probably going to be doomed. And the defense is going to be put in a very bad spot. And now everyone's going to look out of place. So it's great that it worked in college. It's great that he had the ability to get around blocks. But there are going to be times where in the NFL, he can't play as much hero ball. He has to play more disciplined. He's going to have to take on blocks and be a bit more physical. I'll say that one more thing, as I mentioned in the positives, is that when he does take on blocks, it's not that he's getting pancaked or thrown around or bulldozed off the ball. He struggles to get off those blocks. That's the thing. It's not that he's, again, completely useless or, you know, again, thrown to the side. That's not it. He's physical enough. He's strong enough and he can sort of at least hold his ground, but he's not getting off of those blocks and being able to make plays, which is a tough thing for some of these undersized speedy linebackers to get, you know, as soon as a 315 pound guard gets their hands on you. Yeah, it's going to be tough to get off of that, but he's going to have to find a better way to do that in the NFL. He was not asked to do a ton in coverage. As I mentioned, when he was in coverage, it looked fine, good, but he didn't get asked to do a ton. He's going to get asked to do a ton more in the NFL because he and Quay in all likelihood are going to be those two nickel linebackers. They're going to be on the field on every single down and you know they're going to see a ton of pass plays and they're going to attack Edgerrin to see if he's well aware of what he needs to do in all these different situations. They're going to try to fool him. They're going to try to trick him. So it's going to be important that he really picks up his pass coverage abilities to be ready and prepared for every team, trying to attack him in the middle of the field. He will struggle to disengage from blockers, which we talked about, and he will over pursue and just be playing a little bit too fast at times. And I mentioned this in the breakdown pre-draft, but there are times where he is so fast that he gets to spots that other linebackers just simply would not get to. It's great that he gets there because most players aren't. And it's one of those things of like, yeah, sometimes he gets there, but he's going so fast that the running back will just cut back and then he just over pursues it. And now they have a cutback lane. So it's like one of those things where do you want to, like, he's filling the gap. He's like kind of doing what he's supposed to do, but he's getting there so fast that it's allowing, you know, potentially a cutback ability, or he's just overrunning it. He's almost too fast at times. So that's where you're going to have to sort of rein him in a little bit and say, hey, it's great that you can do this, but you've got to still find a way to get there fast, but under control. And I think that's going to be a big thing for Edgerrin is just playing a little bit more under control football. And you have to be careful because you don't want to take away what he does best. And what he does best is playing in space and flying to the football and just playing instinctual football, not thinking too much and going and making big plays. So you don't want to slow him too much and you don't want to make him be too patient and you don't want to have him thinking too much. You just want to have him play completely uninhibited by basically anything, but there's a balance there. And that's going to be something that they're going to have to work out. He plays too tall in too many aspects, both in coverage and when, you know, trying to hold up at the point of attack. So he needs to get a little bit lower, play with better leverage, and then just, you know, kind of bend at the knees a little bit more and be ready to change direction in coverage. Sometimes he gets a little bit too tall. And then when he's trying to flip his hips, it just is a little bit more wonky and it's going to take a half a second extra because he's, again, just playing a little bit too tall and you want to play a little bit lower. needs to stay more disciplined when he's setting the edge. That's definitely one of the situations where when we talk about playing disciplined football and not playing hero football, if you're the guy that's got to set the edge on the outside, you would better set the edge on the outside, or you're just allowing big gains and explosive gains to the outside. It didn't happen a ton, but there were a few different plays on tape where I noticed where it was his responsibility to get outside and cover that edge, and he didn't, and it, you know, ultimately ended up in a big gain for the opposing offense. Pass rush right now, it's really impressive of what he can do to get to the quarterback and explode to the quarterback and have that closing burst. But his pass rush plan or his blitz plan is basically, I'm just going to be faster. And he doesn't really have a plan of attack off of that. So if you do want to use him off the edge, you really want to get him in a place where he can just blitz cleanly, which of course every team would love to do. It's not going to be that easy in the NFL. So he's going to have to, you know, find some ways against tight ends and running backs to put a better pass rush plan together so that those plays where he is blocked can turn into sacks a little bit easier. He will usually hit and wrap up, but there are some plays where he just hits and he needs to do a better job of making sure he wraps up on those plays as well. And then lastly, shiftier running backs will give him some trouble. He's going so fast that, again, those running backs that can just stop on a dime or receivers that can just stop on a dime and let him over pursue, and then he can kind of cut back and go by him, they do give him a little bit of trouble. And that's where it kind of comes back to, it's great that you're playing that fast, but you also have to play fast and under control so that guys aren't just juking you out and you're flying by them at a million miles per hour. How is he going to fit with the Packers? Friends, this is what I think this is the exact player they need on this defense. We're going to see how this Jeff Hafley defense plays based on who they drafted in this draft. I think it's going to be a very attacking, downhill style of football, which Adrian Cooper is going to fit in perfectly with. But this middle of the defense needed somebody with some attitude, with some passion, with some hard-hitting ability, with some blitzing ability, some quarterback spy ability, ability to get to any point that he needs to on the field. This is the exact type of player that this Jeff Hafley defense needed in the middle. And I could not be more excited, because you've got a Xavier McKinney on the back end now. You've got Adrian Cooper playing right in front of him. You've got speed for days with Adrian Cooper and Quay Walker. You know, you've now got Javon Bullard playing next to Xavier McKinney. I mean, just think of that for a second. You went from a middle of the field after the, you know, after Kenny Clark, after that second and third level, that was a struggling Devondre Campbell, if we're being real, that lost a step and a half. Quay Walker, and then a variety of safeties, whether you want to say Rudy Ford or Jonathan Owens or Anthony Johnson Jr., you get the point. They weren't good. They just weren't good. And now you go from that to having Quay and Cooper in the middle with Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard behind him. Whew, what a difference that is going to make in the speed, the intensity, the tackling, the physicality, all of it. It will be a night and day difference. And like I said, Adrian Cooper, the exact type of linebacker they needed in the middle of this defense. I could go back and watch the all 22 of him from the last three seasons all over again. That's how enjoyable it was to watch. Not perfect, not, you know, without flaws, but so enjoyable. And I believe that you guys are going to enjoy watching him play every single time he steps on the field. And in a similar way, I don't think it's always going to be perfect. But what I will say is, I think you're going to notice him playing with such a passion and an intensity that even when he does make a mistake, it's not like a mistake where you're just like, what is going on here? How is this happening? It's like, all right, he was working his butt off to get to that spot, and it just so happened like the running back cut back and made a nice play. And you're going to have, I think, a little bit more forgiveness based on the way that he's playing the game, knowing that he's going a million miles per hour and knowing that he's doing everything in his power to go make a play on the ball. That's where I was at, of like, even when something went wrong, I'm like, ah, I still love you. You're still amazing. Like, you'll get him next time. Whereas like usually when a mistake's made, you're just like, come on, like, let's get this cleaned up. And it's not like they're plentiful. It's not like there's a ton of mistakes on tape, but even when he does, you're like, ah, it's okay. You were trying so hard. So that's the kind of player that he is. You're going to love watching him, cheering for him, even in the rare instance where he does actually make a mistake. I believe that Jeff Hafley is going to weaponize him. I think he's going to use him in a variety of different ways that are advantageous to use him. And we're going to see, again, that attacking downhill style of football. I think he's going to be a starter on day one. Whether or not they use him on special teams will remain to be seen, but I think they will utilize him next to Quay Walker as their primary two linebackers. I think the big thing is that you have to wonder how exactly that fit's going to work with Quay and Edrin next to each other. That's going to be one thing. They're two very similar players. Neither of them really love to take on blocks. They both like to kind of maneuver around them. So that's going to be the big interesting one is, can these two really form a dynamic duo? Well, like I said earlier, sometimes it's Edrin being the hammer and then Quay's going to benefit from it. Sometimes Quay might need to do that so Edrin can benefit from that. But they can get some Mighty Ducks Bash Brothers stuff going on. They're going to be in a really good spot because they have everything that they need to be successful on that second level. Like I said, he plays with a passion and an intensity. The athleticism and the explosiveness jump all over the tape. You can tell he loves the game and plays with that passion and energy. And a player that I sort of combined him to a little, or compared him to a little bit, I would love to combine him, compared him to a little bit, Clay Matthews when he played some off-ball linebacker. And just to Clay Matthews in general. Now, not the pass rusher Clay Matthews. He's not going to be the pass rusher Clay Matthews. I can tell you that wholeheartedly. But if you remember those plays on the backside where they would leave Clay Matthews unblocked, and they would try to do like a stretch play to the opposite side, and Matthews is just like, ha, I'm just going to chase you down and get you 5 yards behind, you know, behind the line of scrimmage every single time. Cooper can do that. That if he's the one that's closing the back door on those backside runs, he will get you in the line, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, and you just have no chance to cut back. He will shut and slam that back door just like Clay did every single time. That ability to spy the quarterback that Clay had. The ability to, you know, some of those Kaepernick plays, if you remember, where he like chased him to the sideline. There's the one where he got the 15-yard penalty that shouldn't, it's a long story. But either way, like you see that ability with Edrin Cooper as well. So that sort of speed and quarterback spy and blitzing ability and the ability to close the back door and fly around the field, you're going to see a lot of that Clay Matthews from Edrin Cooper. Not necessarily, again, the edge rusher Clay Matthews, the one that could beat you in a variety of different ways and was wreaking havoc all throughout the game. That's not Edrin Cooper's game. But the off-ball linebacker Clay Matthews and the, all the different things that he could do on the field, I think you're going to see a lot of that from Coop. The floor to me is Quay Walker. The ceiling is a top 3 to 5 linebacker in this league. I hope he turns out to be the latter, but even the floor, not too shabby. And you're going to end up with two really fast linebackers. But if he's as good as I think he can become, I think we're looking at a really high-level linebacker for Green Bay. And like I said, one of the best linebackers, off-ball linebackers that we've seen, I think, in the last 3-4 decades for the Packers, if he can hit that ceiling of everything that he displayed on his college tape and transfer and carry that over to the NFL. The best thing is that he is going to a defensive coordinator who I have a lot of faith is going to use him in the right way. And his best football is still ahead of him after getting better year after year after year. And hopefully can continue that moving forward in Green Bay in 2024. All right, that is all of my thoughts and takeaways from Edrin Cooper. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'll be right back here tomorrow breaking down Javon Bullard and a deep dive for him. You're not going to want to miss it. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, and Michael Shipper. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.